He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's, September 29th. It's the Thursday live edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, with emphasis on Best Inverse Funds here today. And they are doing very well. I was not a believer in yesterday's big rally in the market. And it's given it all back up so far here today, just about right to the letter here. Right now the Dow is down 535 points, and I think that's about, let's see, yesterday it was up 548. So we got a two-day gain of 13 points, Barry. That's good, with a little volatility in between.
Yeah, in between, right.
Yeah. Woo! Okay, now we've got the NASDAQ just getting clobbered today. You know, I can't remember the last time Apple was downgraded. The NASDAQ is down 334. That's a 3% drop, okay? The NASDAQ yesterday was up 222. So you've got a 120-point drop in the NASDAQ over the last 2 days. And our inverse funds on the NASDAQ, PSQ and QID, are doing very, very well, obviously, today. And the S&P is down 2.3%, 3,633. Okay, now that's an important number, because I said in my newsletter over the weekend, the 10-year bull market, 12-year bull market, technically, officially would be over with a drop below 3,600, a close below 3,600. It's at 3,633 right now, which barely hanging on to that. And it's a skosh below. It's a June low, so not good on all fronts there. Crude oil's down 18 cents. The 10-year's at 3.79. It's up 8 basis points, and Bitcoin down $128 per coin. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. It's obviously the inverse funds that are doing well today. Yesterday it was the stocks. I did not buy into that rally yesterday as far as, becoming all of a sudden a bull just because it was up one day. In fact, the last message I wrote, let me find that I wrote to my subscribers on Seeking Alpha. I said, a big day in the market today, but can we trust it? It seemed to be mostly about the Bank of England and the emergency measures that they're putting into place. You know, I don't know what's going on at the Bank of England. Are they working against the new leader of the UK? Are they working with her? But, Barry, it's totally contrary to raise taxes and to go into a big round of quantitative easing in an inflationary and slowing economic environment. That just seems to be, they have all kinds of turmoil and commotion going on over there.
Yeah, it's independence at its, Federal Reserve or central bank independence at its greatest, I guess, because you've got, the bank doing one thing, and then of course, the government doing another, and they both don't work.
No,
when you're butting heads against each other. So
no, that's like turning down the temperature to help speed up the water boil. It's just contrary to one another, and they seem to be. It almost seems like sabotage to me against the new leader. Who knows what's going on? There's a lot of commotion and turmoil politically across the world. Of course, the big day yesterday. I gave credit to two things, and I don't really know why. Look, the dollar's not going to go up every single day. There's going to be some days when it cracks, but it continues on a red-hot tear. It was down yesterday a little bit, okay? And I think the market said, wow, maybe this run in the dollar is coming to an end. I don't know. But anyways, the dollar sold off a little bit yesterday, and that, I think, helped stocks. And the other thing that happened yesterday was the interest rates came way down. And I'm not quite sure why, other than they can't go up every single day. There's going to be some profit taking along the way. But the overall direction of interest rates and the overall direction of the bond market, the overall direction is down. And the overall direction of interest rates continues to be higher. I don't see any stopping that.
Right. When you have Japan, who's Japan, who's a big purchaser of U.S. debt, they're trying to prop up the yen a bit. And I was reading a story where they're potentially, you know, selling some treasuries, right, in which to do that to buy some to buy additional yen, right, to help improve their exchange rate, which, you know, will put some yield pressure, downward yield pressure on U.S. treasuries. But of course, you know, that only lasts for so long. You can't, it's expensive to prop up your currency. Just ask a lot of your South American countries over the years. It's a tough fight to keep up for a long period of time.
Well, I'm seeing currency crises kind of coming to the fore as one of the biggest problems in the world right now. China's going to do an emergency intervention into their currency to stabilize it. Did you see that this morning?
I didn't see that one, but it doesn't surprise me. And when you have the dollar, you know, there's a lot of things that are either, you know, other currencies that are pegged to the dollar. There's a lot of, dollar denominated, emerging market debt. And then of course, you know, the yuan is pegged to the dollar as well to a certain extent. And so, that's where currency issues, tend to, if the environment's available for them, right, it ends up rearing its ugly head because, it's one of those things where it's very, very expensive to prop up your currency for an extended period of time. It's almost impossible.
Yeah. Okay, let's just move to the hurricane real quickly. It's picking up here today. We're up to about 30-mile-an-hour winds right now. I'm looking at the Wando River with white caps on it. It's going to get to 40 to 60 miles per hour. There's unconfirmed reports down in, Fort Myers. It came ashore way south of what was expected, Tampa and Sarasota. Instead, it came ashore Fort Myers. Did you watch that
just
yesterday?
Just whipped them, yeah. And then my parents are in Cape Coral, so just north of Fort Myers. They're happy to say they're all safe. I don't think they have much cell service at the moment. No, they haven't had power for probably since about at least noon yesterday. But yeah, I mean that angle where it came into Fort Myers and
wow.
Fort Myers Beach. Sanibel, Captiva, I mean, of the, most beautiful areas, it's certainly in the southern part of the Gulf. We'll see some of the pictures, I'm sure, later on this afternoon with drones and everything else. But that's it's a worst-case scenario for that part. Of course, Tampa, Sarasota, our listeners there,
dodged
always
bullet.
A roll of the dice, right? Yep, and worked out better for them. It always amazes me when you look at the Tampa Bay whenever the water gets pushed out of there.
That weird?
It's
scary.
It looks like a tsunami kind of event in the Pacific where all the water comes out. Of course, then it comes back in with a tsunami. But it was some interesting pictures and just how the roll of the dice of what side you're on in the storm, how that affects.
Yeah, and there weren't, I was watching early this morning, there are unconfirmed reports of hundreds. That's what the sheriff down there in that area,
yep.
He says that at the end of the day we could find hundreds dead. You believe that?
Yeah, I mean, I saw where I think I heard from the actual kind of coroner's office. I think it's about five at the moment. But I mean, if you think about it, you've got some of these homes, one story homes, and I've saw stories where you're up to your thighs in a matter of minutes. In that event, you're washing an entire homes can be, that water will move the home off its foundation. And that's kind of what you had in, I think it was in the Biloxi Gulfport area during Katrina. Everybody thinks of New Orleans, but you know, Gulfport and Biloxi were on that bad side, and I mean, you know, you pushed entire homes up, you know, 2 miles inland. Right.
The surge is what is deadly. Well, European stocks are back on their back foot. The Bank of England, they did a boost yesterday of announcing, you know, buying of their bonds, which helped them out a little bit with their bond market. But they're on their back foot again. Europe EPV is the inverse ETF on Europe. We are long EPV right now. There's problems. The GDP estimate when we come back. Recession talk, corporate profits, jobless claims, predictions for the market going forward. Wow, there's a lot to talk about here today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. The market going south right now. It's the best Inverse Funds Now show today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, and they certainly are helping us, those inverse funds today, which we deploy. You know, we've had them deployed for a while. We took them off there when it looked like we had a trend reversal in the market. Then, fortunately, we had to put them back on, and that certainly, you know, look at the market. The NASDAQ's down 3.1%, 344. The Dow's down 567, 1.9. I really don't know what the catalyst was yesterday for the big pop in the market, and I honestly don't know what the big catalyst is for the big sell-off in the market today. Maybe you can dig up something during the break.
Well, I think the jobs report, it's interesting. I mean, jobless claims were less than expected. So, in other words, regardless of what the Fed does, they can't get, even if they want unemployment to go up, right? They can't, they can't get the layoffs, I guess, that they want. So, it's the only really thing that I see here short of that GDP number. But I think that would actually, you know, bad news is probably good news for the market. So.
Well, that jobs number, that goes to what, I had a couple of representatives from the pro funds in my office here on Tuesday, and one of them said, I think eventually when you start to see layoffs, okay, then you'll start to see inflation come down. And it's like you say, the Fed can't lay people off. They got to let nature take its course. And that number did come in, the unemployment numbers, and it was pretty strong. I mean, it was pretty good. There weren't a lot of layoffs. And so that means the Fed is going to maintain their gruesome course here of hiking rates. And is it putting us into a recession? Well, I've been arguing for several months now that we're already in a recession. Now, this GDP is just a confirmation of what we already knew, that the second quarter of this year was negative, minus 0.6%. Okay, it stayed unchanged. They revised them a few times, it didn't come up, didn't go down. We have two negative quarters in a row. And from where I come from and the background I have in the market and the courses I've taken, many on the economy, the textbook, if you answer that question, what true or false, two negative quarters in a row of GDP is a recession, true or false?
Yeah, it's
well,
true.
Maybe true. It's relative now, you know. Maybe I can answer whatever I want, whatever fits, the narrative. But that's the textbook. In my day, you would have gotten that right if you'd have said, yes, that's it. That's true. So will we have a third quarter? Now, you could look this up, Barry, at some point in time. When will we actually get the first GDP report because then if you get three quarters in a row, it's definitely going to come before the election. Am I not right about that?
I want to say it comes. I want to say it's a week or so before. I think we looked it up, and I'm going to look it up again here in a second.
It's pretty hard to argue three quarters in a row that we're not in a recession, Janet Yellen. So that's going to be a key date. I'm going to put that on my list of things to do here today, too. When will the GDP report come out for the third quarter? Okay, the quarter ends tomorrow, so obviously it's not going to come out tomorrow. It takes a while to calculate it, to get all the numbers in. They got to let the dust settle for probably three or four weeks maybe. And then of course, the corporate profits will start to roll in. Corporate profits were up, and they've revised that, the final account, 6.2%, which I've been reporting that in my newsletter. This quarter that we're in right now that will end tomorrow, we're looking for a very meager 3.2% gain over last year. And there's a chance that it could go negative. This could be the first negative quarter in a long time, going back to COVID, obviously.
Yeah, October 27th will be that first first estimate of third quarter GDP. Then the second estimate doesn't come out until November 30th. So, yeah, so 10/27 on your calendar there.
Is that a bipartisan commission that calculates the GDP? Can one side juice it so it's positive a week before the election? I don't know the answer to that. I would think there would be some safeguards. I mean, Jerome Powell himself is a Republican.
Yeah, it says in parentheses, it's the advanced estimate. So, who knows? The advanced estimate sounds like there could be some leeway there. Right?
Yes, okay. Job, because, look, in accounting and taxes, there's always a little bit of leeway, here and there. GDP, it's not going to be good for the incumbents or for the ruling party right now. It's not going to be good if you get that third quarter in a row of negative GDP at all. Jobless claims hit an 8-month low. That's what we were just talking about. That could be the match on the fire of the market today. You could be right there. That's too hot. The jobless market is too hot. I mean, the employment market is too hot. Wages continue to go up, and that's inflationary. And if it's true that we got to start seeing layoffs, pain, is that what Jerome Powell is referring to when he says there's going to be pain? Well, yeah, losing your job is pain, very painful. Is that the point that we have to get to before we start getting inflation under control? It almost seems that is a strong possibility. Okay, U.S. Airlines canceled thousands of flights. Yeah, I'm not flying into Charleston during 60-mile-per-hour winds. I'm not going fishing. The boat lashed down, man. I went out there, lashed it to the telephone poles that, are stuck in the mud.
Well, if you shut down, Miami Airport, you shut down Orlando Airport, you shut down Tampa's airport, right? I mean, just in Florida, right? You've already canceled tons of flights.
Those are all international airports, right?
Right. Yeah.
We're getting some swells out there in the river, and it's almost high tide. So I'm keeping a close eye on everything. New Russian sanctions package in the works after annexation votes. Well, we know that Putin went in. He ran some sham elections. And 96% of the people that voted want to be part of Russia and not Ukraine. That was the results of the elections, okay? So now Putin is saying, give me the territory. He's set to annex nearly 15% of Ukraine within days. Within days. He's already ordered a military mobilization of, no wonder the market's down, 300,000 additional troops. And we still don't know who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Well, we'll look at yields around the world, rising interest rates, currency issues, inverse funds, interventions. We'll be right back. Yesterday's rally in the market, don't feel so bad, because if you blinked, you missed it. And yesterday's rally is up in smoke today, with the NASDAQ down 3.4%, Dow down 2%, S&P down about 2.5%, just like that, gone. And, the economy in the U.S., even though you had negative GDP for two quarters in a row, the jobs market hasn't tumbled yet. The housing market is starting to falter big time. The home prices are dropping. The mortgage loans have come to a standstill with interest rates up where they are now. In my app, the Best Stocks Now app, the number of stocks in the database currently stands, this is stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds, 6,057. Man, I remember when I started, there was 2,000, and that's how many I've added over the years. We're now up to 6,057. They all have a fair shot. The app is not Democrat. The app is not Republican. The app does not read the newspaper. The app doesn't have an agenda. Barry, I got to say, when I saw the big firm, nationwide firm that's a fee-based money management firm, and they send out their quarterly message, from their mucky mucks, and of course they're down 28, probably 30% with today's move since the beginning of the year. And I just saw behind everything they were saying, they got to say something to keep people from transferring their accounts out. Yeah, you know what? Look, I mean, they probably have a massive outflow. Kathy Woods was managing $65 billion at one time. She's down to under 10, something like that. I'm not speaking of her, but I just watched the guy speaking, and it's all the buzzwords that I've heard over the years about we're positioning ourselves for a big bounce. Hey, I hope they're right. We were wrong at the beginning of the year. We didn't think things would be this bad. We thought we were bullish. We now admit we're wrong, and we're sorry for that. They apologize. But everything just seemed to be, I'm just not genuine, okay, because they have a vested interest here. They have they're in a bad spot. They kind of have to say things that deep down they may know might not be true.
And they don't even use cash. So, I mean, it's like, regardless, right, and certain in terms of how many are, in terms of the database, how many names we have in the database that are actually, really investable at this point, right, it's not a very target-rich environment. And if they have to, if you have to stay 100% invested in this environment, well, you don't have many things to choose from.
No, and they can't sit there and say, well, we believe in holding a lot of cash right now to write. They can't say that. Well, here's the number, 6,057 stocks, ETFs, mutual funds. I look at anything as B-plus or better, grade, B-plus or better. I have 14 different grades from F to A-plus. There's 115 stocks out of 6,057 that are B-plus or better. That's as bad as it gets.
That's 1.9%. So basically 2% of the market at this point.
Is it that high? One out of...
Yes, so I did the
115 out of 6,057. 1/6.
Yeah, that's 1.8% is viable, right? Yeah. So in other words, 1.8% of what we're tracking is B plus or better, right?
And 98.2% is unviable. 98 Now, let's go to A or better. Okay. These are the best stocks in the market. There's 11. Dick's Sporting Goods, Tesla, Enphase, Albemarle, two times inverse, the world.
The world.
Right, I'm shorting the world. You know, and Aspen Technologies, I tweeted that yesterday. That stock is amazingly resilient, AZPN. Okay, and that's it. I mean, and when you get to the best, when you look at the ranking of the asset classes, it's all of the inverse funds that are on top. So if you are with somebody who can't use, who can't go to cash, number one, and that would be this firm, and of course, the Kathy
and
Woods
lots of
the
mutual
world.
Funds. I mean, lots Tons of mutual of funds at most usually can go 10% cash, and that's by prospectus, so they don't have a choice.
We're talking all of these Fidelity funds, a T. Rowe Price that many people own in their 401ks, and I doubt that very many 401k plans. Now, some 401k plans have opened it up to where people can buy individual stocks. But I don't know about the inverse funds. You know, as I talked with the pro funds guys, I said, you know, your biggest issue has to be the restrictions that a lot of people have that don't allow them to buy. He said, absolutely. And I said, you know, in a way, that's kind of too bad. It's like not being able to, buy emergency canisters of propane, you know, when the lights go out or something like that.
It's like not being able to buy homeowners insurance on the coast, right?
It's just ridiculous. But anyways, it is what it is, and that's the current state of the market, 115. Now, a healthy market, 800-900, okay? Maybe 1,000 in a really healthy market, B-plus or better. About 15%, 10% of the market is usually viable. Now you've got 1.6%, 1.8%. Now you say, well, what about being a contrarian? You know what? I've seen contrarians just get clobbered. Kathy Wood is a contrarian. She loaded up yesterday. I saw a stock up 20%. Ginkgo Bioworks, which is a piece of garbage. In my opinion, everybody's got an opinion. DNA is the stock, and she continues to double down on that thing, and it continues to get hammered. Just the only reason it was up 20% yesterday was her action, because it's thinly traded. She pushed the stock up just through her action alone. So she's a contrarian doubling down. The problem is she's been doubling down all the way down. I don't know where she first started buying it. But that, to me, that's a losing strategy. To buy on the way down is a losing. Now, at some point in time, we'll be watching for it. A guy asked me yesterday. He's with this big firm that has toasted 28% of his money since the beginning of the year and has no plan. Their only plan is hoping and praying for a big bounce. Well, okay. But anyways, at some point in time, the market may bottom here. I put in some numbers over the weekend, of technical analysis, and you may have one of the best buying opportunities of all time. And he was asking me, how do you know when we get to that point? How do you know when to get back in? Of course, that's the argument against what people like me do. Well, you don't know when to get back in. You know what? My indicator is the economy and earnings. It's as simple as that. And I continue to see one company after another guiding lower. That's not a good environment to be a contrarian and to start to buy. I need to see all of these guiding lowers kind of washed out. And I got to see where the real earnings estimates are. And I got to start seeing GDP that is starting to turn the corner and go up. That's what we saw in 2009, which was one of the great buying opportunities of all time. When the S&P got to 660, how did I know to get back in March of 2009? And you can go look at my newsletter from that period of time. March, I said, a new bull market has been born, which I said in March of 2020, also during the COVID. you've got to see the earnings estimates really solid and, you know, value there that can be counted upon. And right now we're still in the sliding lower. We have not seen the bottom of earnings estimates yet. So in the meantime, you twiddle your thumbs, you play around with the inverse funds, you try to make some money in some of the really vulnerable areas of the market, and you wait for the situation to get better. And you have to remember that the market is way forward-looking, big time. I'm looking out a couple of years, year and a half. I'm waiting for those forecasts to start to look better. Instead, they're deteriorating right now, and they've just begun to deteriorate, really. So we've got a ways to go before we work through this, both from a technical point of view and from a fundamental point of view. In other words, I'm not doubling down and adding to my NVIDIA positions, which I sold quite some time ago. We're not there yet. Stay tuned, however. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Today it's inverse funds ruling the day. We'll get to those in a minute. Just a few other stories here that I think are worth mentioning. Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway loads up on more Occidental Petroleum stock, OXY. He's still bullish there in the oil patch. SEC is looking at conflicts of interest in robo-advisors. Hello. I made a brochure many years ago that I used for a while, No Robots Here. That was my theme. And I had these cartoonish-type robots. No, we don't hire robots. We want people that can think. Nothing matches the human brain, I'm sorry, and reasoning and common sense. Now, here's the other big story I find, and I know this is to be true. Actively managed ETFs accumulated inflows for the 29th straight month in August. People are getting away from these indexes and these sector funds. They want active management. But, you know, I don't care. There's not very many actively managed ETFs. An example of an actively managed ETF would be ARK Funds. I mean, she does manage that. It's not an index. But I guess you want an actively managed ETF where it's unconstrained. Maybe I need to create the unconstrained, go anywhere, go where you want to go ETF, Barry. Go where you come up with the ticker symbol and we'll apply for it. And we'll create an ETF that is unconstrained and can go where it needs to go. Voyager kind of like. You know, there is a Voyager. Putnam used to have a Voyager.
Yeah, Voyager fund, right?
Well, that's the way I believe. I don't believe that you can be tied by anything. You know, you just don't know what's going to come along in the world, and you have to be prepared. Apple gets a downgrade today. We don't own Apple anymore. All the downstream from Apple all looks bad, all the companies. Micron continues to see lowering DRAM prices. Rite Aid lowers their outlook. They're not a real important company. Fisker gets ready to unveil their prototype. Oh, we should be all over that stock here. Bed Bath & Beyond reported earnings. They only lost $3.22. That's a train wreck there. Okay, now what's working today? The market has come up a little. We're only down 480. We were down 600 a little bit ago. Yang, 3x inverse China. That's up 11.7%. I'm just picking the biggest percent gainers to see if there's a common theme that run through them. FXP, up 7.2%. It's double inverse China. I actually personally own a little bit of that. China is so unpredictable. It's difficult for me to buy it for our clients. I have over the years, and it's just so dang unpredictable because you're dealing with, you know, a dictator. and can do whatever he wants in the Communist Chinese Party. But they're having trouble. China's economy is not getting the press that it deserves. They're still locking down for COVID. They have terrible problems with their currency against the U.S. dollar. Oh, look who's on TV, my favorite money manager. He's constrained, and he's telling me to buy right now. Anyways, FXP up 7.2%. Double inverse China. Fanged. Not Fang. Kind of an interesting play with the symbol there. You're not Fang, you're Fanged. FNGD, you're up 11.1%, which is three times inverse the Fang stocks. Do you remember when it's all you had to do was buy the big guys app? Remember when they were hitting 1 trillion, 2 trillion, on the way to 3 trillion? The Apples, the Facebooks, the Netflix, the Google, the Amazons, on and on and on.
Even before they changed all their names.
You can't. Fang means nothing now because it's Alphabet and it's, wow.
Meta, right.
Meta, we got to get an M in there. Socks. How dirty are your socks? 10.9% today. And the semiconductors, you know, really the nail in the coffin of the semiconductors here recently is when the U.S. put restrictions on what they could sell to China. And that was, man, ever since then, it's been nothing but down for the semiconductor stocks, Broadcom, AMD, NVIDIA, none of which do we own anymore. Got rid of them quite some time ago, and they're a lot lower from where we sold them at. The biotechs, which had a huge day yesterday on that news out of Biogen, of course, it's heavily weighted in the biotech sector because of the size of it. But today, they're right back to selling. LABD, three times inverse, the biotechs is up 10.8% today. Webs up 10.10%. I personally own a little Webs. That's three times inverse the internet stocks. TZA. What in the world is a TZA? It's three times inverse the small cap stocks. You know, when the economy goes, if we're going into a recession, it's the big stocks that are able to ride through it better. Walmart's going to ride through it a lot better than a small retailer. And so small cap stocks are very, very vulnerable right now. TZA is three times inverse the small. Now, I'm not saying go out and put your IRA into three times inverse. These are to be used judiciously with, common sense, with care as hedges. Or maybe some, you know, short-term trades or whatever, but small amounts of money. TWM up 6.4%. That's two times inverse, these small caps. And the last one I'll mention here is DRV. Maybe you can drive my car. The real estate sector is just kind of under heavy pressure. Well, obviously, that's common sense. We're in a rising interest rate environment. Boy, look at the river. Woo! We're getting some white caps on the Wando River. It's getting a little spooky there. High tide coming. DRV is up 8.4% as we speak. Okay, well, we're out of time. I'm already putting together the numbers. At the end of the day, I start crunching numbers for the S&P 500. Earnings, there's the number one indicator of anything that I've ever found over the years. It's earnings expectations going forward. You can get it 2 weeks free of the newsletter, 855-611-VEST, GundersonCapital.com. Lots of people calling us because their advisor's doing nothing. 855-611-VEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.